Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew, chapter number 26. Be looking today at a message that I pray will be a blessing and help and encouragement to you. Matthew, chapter 26. I'll begin reading in the latter part of verse number 56. Again, I appreciate all of you being here today. Pray that you'll receive a blessing by being here in the Lord's house. Matthew, chapter 26. We'll be looking at verse 56. I'll give you just a moment to turn there to get your place. And then we'll be looking at something that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. As you look at verse 56, you notice the words in red. If you have a red letter Bible, the most of verse 56 was the words of Jesus. They're in red, but I want to begin with the black words after that, because this is the point of the message today. He said, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together once again, Lord, to open your word. I pray that you'd give me strength and help. Lord, give me the ability to speak in a way that'd be a blessing and a help to those that are here today. Father, again, we thank you for you dying for us on the cross. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see the importance in our life of living and being everything that you'd have us to be. Have your will and way, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Not only do we see in Matthew 26, we'll be looking at verse 69 through 75 a little later, not right now. But one day a woman was crossing the street in London, and she did. There was an old man standing there, and he stopped her, and she went over, did not have any idea who he was. And he said, "I just want to thank you." She said, "Thank me? What do you want to thank me for?" He said, "For years." He said, "I took the tickets at the, I guess, train station or bus station." And he said, "I took the tickets." And he said, "Every time you came in, you always had a smile and a good morning for me." And he said, "I just noticed how different you were and what the difference it made and the way you reacted." And then he said, "One day I saw you come and you had a Bible under your hand, under your arm." He said, "I saw that obviously I was trying to figure out what it was about you that was different. But," he said, "I saw the Bible, so I went and bought me one." And he said, "I began to read the Bible." And he said, "Just want you to know that I'm saved now. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior." You know, just a gradual influence in somebody's life can make a difference. People are watching you, whether you know it or not. They're watching everything you do, the things you say. But this man saw something in that woman that touched his heart. What is it he saw? I believe he saw Jesus living through a life of a lady that loved the Lord and was faithful to him. But it's the same way that you and I that are saved ought to live. We ought to live in a way that people would see Christ in us and be pleased with what we see, we present to them. Now, the story we're looking at today, we find Jesus is being arrested. I just read that in verse number 58. He's taken to the home of the high priest, and Simon Peter follows him. But notice what the Bible said, Simon Peter follows him at a distance. But again, I remind you that right before that, in verse 56, he said, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." When he was about to be taken, all the other disciples fled, but Peter followed him, but he followed him afar off. But he winds up outside of the high priest's house, sitting among a Roman fire, warming his hands there. That night, by the fire, Peter made the greatest failure that he could ever make during that time. Literally, we find him there. He had been put in a position, literally, where he could have shined brightly for the Lord. He could have been a great testimony for what God had done. But instead, I guess he was worried about what somebody would think or what somebody would say. I say to you today, don't worry about what people say. You just better worry about what God says. And yet we find Peter in the position, he just literally that day seemed to be invisible. Nobody was able to see Jesus in Peter that night. Now, somebody said, "Well, Peter, what about Peter?" Well, Peter was a saved man. He was living in the new life. But the problem is they couldn't tell it. You know, the sad thing is today, you can be saved, but yet your life may not project what you really ought to be or what you need to be as you serve Christ. I want to use this passage this morning and base it on the fact that I've asked one question there. Did they see Jesus in me? Did they see Jesus in me? That's a question I'd like for you to ask yourself this morning. Why in the world we ask that? Because it's of great importance. If you're living, you're you're breathing, if you've been saved by the grace of God, if your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, then your life ought to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do. And so today I want to take this passage of Scripture and just share with you, because obviously that night nobody saw Jesus in Peter's life. At that time, he turned his back, he followed afar off, and we'll see some other things in a minute. But I want you to understand, first of all, the wonder of a new life. The wonder of a new life. When a person gets born again, it's a transformation that occurs in their life. They become changed. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'll stop right there to say this. Just because we're saved does not mean we will not sin. Just because we're saved don't mean that we won't do as Peter did. And I tell you tonight, this morning, I don't believe we ought to be too harsh on Peter. When all the other disciples fled and wondered what we would do if we were in the same situation. But Simon Peter was not the man he used to be. He had been transformed. He had been born again by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice his past. Peter was a fisherman. We find that he was a fisherman among the many, but if you'll remember, if you read, and you know, and of course it seems to be that way, maybe even today, fishermen oftentimes, not always, but many times they're notorious for the wicked and say things and do things that is a wicked lifestyle that does not present Christ in their light. By Peter's own admission in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and we'll not take time to read those, but he basically said, I'm a sinful man. He recognized that he was a sinful man. So again, I believe those verses give us the testimony of the fact that he was saved. But how many of us can remember the pit we had digged and the hole we had got ourselves in when finally Jesus passed by? And he reached down in that pit and he lifted us out and he set our feet upon a rock and he established our goings. My, what a transformation took place in our life. This week I had a high school friend that came and visited with me. I remember him in high school, and I'm not proud of any means, but he was probably a better guy than I was during high school in many ways. He was very smart, very talented, and God used him, but literally he wasn't saved in high school, and I was saved, but he probably never knew that at the time. And yet I remember him calling me. He was a student at the College of Georgia Southern. Because of his talent, a group of young men had asked him to play in a quartet, and he was doing it, and he traveled over to Baxley, Georgia, to a little independent Baptist church, and that night, the preacher preached, and John got convicted. Now, again, I remind you, John's dad was a preacher, and he had pastored a church, but yet, and again, that don't do anything to make him saved, but literally, I remember John calling me and said, I got saved. I got born again, and my, what a change in his life. And he's been ministering for the Lord and serving him for a long time. Do you remember before you got saved what God did in your life, how he changed you? The next thing we notice is Peter's profession of faith. Peter bowed before Jesus on that fishing boat. If you remember, he called him when he called out to him in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. He said, Lord, Jesus, Lord. And again, I believe that through all that, the Lord saved him, but we know the depth of his profession by reading in Matthew 16, verse 13, 18. You mark that down. Read it when you get home. Read John 6, verse 64 through 71. But I'm convinced today that Peter was a saved man. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today there's a moment when you bowed your head and prayed. Has there been a time when you bowed your head and prayed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I've been born again. I know I'm saved. I know that Jesus Christ has come into my heart. Have you believed on his name and trusted him by faith? So again, here we have Peter, a rough fisherman from the past that he had experienced. Then the profession he made that transformed his life and changed him and brought him around. And then there was proof that we saw, again, I believe, of his salvation. There was times when Peter excelled in his walk with the Lord. I've already mentioned some of those times. He had a vocal profession while others were silent. But Peter, if you'll remember, sought to defend the Lord when they came to take him. You remember he pulled the sword out and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers there. And yet the Lord, of course, we knew did not desire that. He picked it up and put it back on him. And again, but the Bible says, here's Peter in verse number 58. He's following him afar off. Now, I believe Peter had some real fruit in his life. You see the fruit in his life. I believe, first of all, the presence of the badge of salvation that he wore. We know, by the way, do you know that the spiritual proof brings about sanctification? Sanctification is a word we use to become more like Jesus. And I believe every life we, every day we live, every life we come in contact with, we ought to live a life for Jesus that they may see Christ in us. So we saw him sanctified. We saw God working. We saw his spirituality. We behave more like him sometimes, but yet we ought to behave like the Lord would have us to behave. The souls, that was the burden that he had, Romans 1:13. And I wonder today, do you have any proof of your life? The Bible said if any man is saved, that he loves the brethren. That's one of the greatest tests that you can take. And so again, I'm not trying to convince you anymore that he was saved. I believe and I know the Bible teaches that he was. And he was a saved man. He was a believer. But there's times when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. At one time, if you look at Matthew 26, verse 72, we'll read all this in a little bit. But again, he denied him with an oath. I do not know the man. In fact, we find here that he denied him, and at one point he does so even cursing. But regardless of the changes that he experienced through Jesus, it's always possible for a child of God to fall back into sin. I wish I could tell you today that when a person gets saved, that they'll sin no more. They'll be like Jesus every day. Can you imagine a world full of people that were like Jesus? People that exemplified Christ in their life, and nobody would have to ask if you was a believer. They just know you was a believer by the glow on your face, or maybe the smile that you give, or a word that you might say to someone in a kind way. I know many of you said, man, Peter was a rascal. I can't believe after all the Lord had done for him and what God had blessed him with, and I can't believe that he'd turn his back on the Lord and walk away. I submit to you today, you and I could do the same thing except with the grace of God. And there's many today that have turned back. And I believe many people today that are saved, I believe they know the Lord. I believe they're on their way to heaven just as much as I am. But I know some today that I believe have fallen back into sin, even as Peter did. But I'm grateful today that he had made a change. The wonder of the new life, the transformation that had took place in his life. So here he is at one of the greatest events in history. We find Jesus about to go to the cross and be crucified. The disciples have departed from him. They're hiding from him and actually from the soldiers. But yet, you have to give Peter credit. He was still following him, but he found himself in a place that he did not need to be. The second thing we notice is the witness of the new life. It's our testimony. Every life of every redeemed person living is a walking sermon for Jesus Christ. If you profess to know Christ, and you talk about Jesus, and you talk about your church, and you talk about the blessings of God, and don't live it, people's going to get the wrong idea about what Christianity is all about. In fact, today, I wish that we could get more people to come to church. I'm grateful for those who come. But there's a world full of people. When I left the house this morning, there was people out walking the dog. There was people out just walking and doing certain things, but it was obvious, it seemed as if they wasn't getting ready to go to church. Yet today, I believe if I would have asked or didn't saw some of them stop and ask them if they were saved, they'd probably say, yes, I'm saved. But yet their life did not reflect it. So again, Jesus saved me. He radically changed my life. And Peter was saying, yes, I've been saved. I've been transformed. Or they're saying, I'm a believer, but Jesus hadn't changed my life at all. Now, if Jesus hadn't changed your life at all, I'll argue with you about whether you've been saved or not, because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Now, Peter finds himself in the house of the high priest. He finds himself at the house of the high priest, and I don't believe he went there with any intention of doing anything wrong, but he ended up doing some things wrong because he finds himself in the wrong place. He followed Jesus, but he didn't go with Jesus all the way. He didn't follow him everywhere he went. He stays outside, warming himself around the enemy's fire. He would have been better off hiding as the other disciples, or even being in the custody of the Roman soldiers with Jesus, than sitting by the fire, warming his hands with those that were about to crucify Jesus. If Jesus were to accompany me there, he'd be comfortable, but if the answer is no, then you have no business going either. Why? Well, if you're saved, Jesus goes with you everywhere you go. And I tell you, Jesus never forsakes you nor never leaves you. And Peter might have thought he needed the friends, or maybe he thought he could blend in. Maybe he thought he could camouflage himself. They wouldn't recognize who he was, and maybe he would escape the punishment that Jesus did. Whatever the case might be, Peter followed Jesus, but he didn't follow him far enough because he found himself in the wrong place. The second thing we notice, he found himself with the wrong people. We find Peter is now associating himself with the wrong crowd. And it wasn't long till he was acting like them. Literally, and we know that even from the cursing words that he said. Let me just go back and read verse 69 through 75. Now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied him with an oath. I do not know the man. I believe he was probably just as emphatic or more emphatic than I'm being now. And after a while they came unto him and they stood by and said to Peter, Surely, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word of the Jesus, which is said unto him before the cock crowed, Thou deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I believe he's a saved man. I believe it's proved, but we find him with the wrong people. To the wrong people. You know, you may be saved and you said, you know, it's my job. I need to reach the lost. And you do need to reach the lost. He said, but if I'm going to reach the lost, I need to hang around with the lost. Well, I don't advise that. I think it's important that you spend time with the lost. I think it's important that you witness to the lost. But don't think that you're going to change the lost to be like you, because more than likely, they're going to change you to be like them. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. No doubt, I believe, as he sat around the fire and listened to their conversation and their words, he heard cursing and all the things that maybe he remembered from his past as a fisherman. And so again, because of all that was being said, he thought it would make him even more credible, which literally he wasn't, but it would make him more credible for him to say a few curse words to help them know that perhaps he was not with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't hang around people of a different element and expect to come out all right. I tell you today, you better choose your friends closely and carefully as a child of God, because I know that your life can be destroyed simply by the people you hang around with and things you do. I'm not blaming my old friends, okay? I take full responsibility for my life and the things I did. Thank God my sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I promise you, the people that I was hanging around with until I got right with the Lord was people that was not leading me, persuading me, or convincing me to go the way that I ought to go, but rather they were convincing me perhaps of the way that I need not to go. So we find him in the wrong place. He's out by the fire with the Roman people. He's with the wrong people. And that night he was associated with the crowd, so he began to act like them. And then we find the wrong performance. The Bible says Peter began to swear in verse 72. He said he did not look like a sound of a preacher at that moment. Can you imagine? I would hope that you would be shocked if you ever heard me curse. Not say I never did. Thank the Lord that's all in behind me. God's helped me through the years. Somebody said, well, once you do it, you can't help it. It can't help but come out. Well, if you get rid of it and you're filled with the Spirit of God, it won't come out. And I'm glad today and thankful that the Lord has helped me. But can you imagine if I was to walk up to somebody and begin to curse? Y'all would immediately call everybody on the phone and say, we need a new pastor, and rightfully so. But here was Peter, one of the servants, one of the disciples. He was following the Lord, and he finds himself that instead of acting, even in the position that he was in, he still did not have to act like they did by cursing and carrying on. But do you know today, what does most Christians do? Either most people are either pagan or they're Christian. If you watch the TVs and the movies, or you listen to the music, if you meet their friends, You listen to their conversation. If they saw how you treat other people, if they saw how you reacted when you wronged somebody, and the list goes on and on, I wonder, could they see Jesus in your life? And can I say, although this turned out pretty good, however, I remind you, it doesn't always turn out good. And I don't want to be responsible for somebody tripping and falling along the way because of the life I live, the way I acted, the places I went, the wrong people, the wrong place, the wrong profession that I gave and what I did. And then thirdly, we see the way of the new life. And this is wonderful today. And I'm glad today in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he wept out and wept. He went out and wept bitterly. You know, that's another sign that Peter was saved, because he realized what he had done. I tell you today, I say this, and I think we ought to seek to do everything in our power to be the kind of Christian we ought to be. But I'm thankful tonight for 1 John 1:9 that said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I stand here today a mere man, a sinful man. Isaiah the great prophet said, woe is me, for my lips are unclean. We find David when he had sinned against God or with Bathsheba. We find Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance, crying out to God, asking for forgiveness. Can it happen? Sure, it can happen. But if it happens and you're really genuinely born again and saved by the grace of God, you'll remember it. In fact, you'll remember, maybe if you're saved, I believe you'll remember it in this lifetime. You'll remember the warning. You'll remember what Jesus has said to you and what he had told you that you needed to do. Jesus had counseled the church at Ephesus to remember in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. God's people need to remember who you are this morning. You need to understand where you came from, what God did for you, and how he saved you. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, or this morning, I stand here before you only by the grace of God. I heard a man yesterday, he was on TV, and he was talking about his son was one of the golfers playing in the golf tournament yesterday. And he said, I knew from the beginning that there was something special about my son. And he said he talked about it. And of course, he's become a great golf player, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, when God blesses us, we need to remember. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Yet we find, here's Peter. He'd been by the fire. He'd been cursing. He'd been acting like an unsaved person all along. But all of a sudden, he remembered. Has there been a time in your life when you've gotten away from the Lord, but you remembered? You remembered that he saved your soul. You remember that he gave you eternal life. You remember how good he's been to you and your family. I tell you today, I think of the families of those five children that was killed and even hurt and injured over the weekend. I can imagine the devastation that is there. But I could only imagine if that was my child or your child and know that that was a great heartache upon our life. Thank the Lord I got saved when I was 10 years old. I remember when going to church and I they wasn't put on, it wasn't play, and I didn't go because somebody else did. I tell you what, a preacher preached and I knew hell was real and I knew heaven was real and I wanted to go to heaven. As a 10-year-old boy, I broke loose and came down the aisle. Brother Chan McMillan, he took his Bible and showed me from the Word of God what I needed to do. After that, my time was not everything it needed to be. I didn't, when I got a little older, didn't want to go to church. And, of course, as long as I was living at home, my daddy said, as long as you're at home, you're going to church. And I said, yes, sir. He said, even if you're 21, you're living at home, you're going to church. I said, yes, sir. And I did. And I'm glad I did, because that's what brought me back to the place that I needed to be. But yet, there came a day that I remember the night specifically, that I lay in my bed and I remembered what God had done for me and how foolish I was acting and the things that I was doing. I was by myself that night And I got up out of my bed and I began going through my chest of drawers, tearing all my clothes out. I knew what I was looking for. I was looking for a New Testament that Brother Alan shared when he was pastor at Eastside, gave us the day I graduated. I found it at the bottom of the drawer, and I began to read, and God began to speak to my heart, and wasn't long after that, it didn't happen immediately, but it wasn't long after that that my dad, I was not living at home then, it was not long after that that Dad kept coming and kept praying, kept talking to me. And yet one night I went to church. I'd gone several times before, but that night was different. I heard the preaching of the Word of God. Not worried that I was lost and going to hell, because the Bible said when you get saved, you have eternal life. And you know why I was so miserable? Because I was saved. If you're saved, you cannot live in sin and not be miserable. You cannot get to the point to where it, you can get to the point where it don't bother you. You can harden yourself. But again, it's important to understand that that's a good sign. If you remember what God has done, some of God's people need to remember what God's done for them. There's repentance in the new life. There's turning over, not turn over a new leaf, but there's putting our faith in Him, giving our commitment to Him. We're told that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, I don't know. Nothing wrong with weeping. As a 10-year-old boy, I don't know why, other than I was happy, I wept when I got saved. I couldn't talk. I was weeping. The next time I came forward, Brother Joe Bryant was pastor. I made my way down the aisle, and I had so many things that I needed to get forgiven, and I had so much that God had blessed me with, that I wept my way down the aisle. And the preacher said, "What'd you come for?" I never did tell him because I couldn't talk. I was weeping bitterly. Friend, I tell you, when God saves you and you turn your back on Him, it's a sad day because He gave His all for you that we might live for Him. And I remember that night just as vividly as I stand here today. And I wept bitterly. And I cried. No doubt, even as Peter did, I'm sure, confessed his sin. God forgave him of his sin. I remember going to my pastor, and finally some days afterwards, and we talked. We talked about the assurance of my salvation. And I began to read the scripture, and the Bible said, if whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So I did what Jesus said do. The preacher said, if you know that you did, then I said, I know I did it. I know I did it. I know that I was saved that night. But I'm grateful today that there was repentance. Jesus allowed me to come to Him and get forgiveness of my sinfulness, my waywardness, and be restored. And that's my next thing I want to talk about, is there's restoration in new life. Listen, this morning, if you're saved, God's not finished with you yet. You said, but preacher, you don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't. Probably don't want to know. But the fact of it is, you need to get it right between you and God and be sure that you know that what you're doing is right. And if it's not there, then you need to go and fall down before the Lord, and you need to pray. You need to be restored again. Now listen to this. Here's Peter. Peter following afar off. Peter sitting by the fire. Peter cursing. But yet now we find that Peter has come to the place to where he's repented. But then I want you to understand there was a place when he was restored. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel. When he did, 3,000 people got saved. I tell you today, that ought to be an encouragement. If you're wandering away from God and going the opposite direction, God still loves you. God still has something for you. And if you're saved, He wants you to remember that you're saved. He wants you to act like you're saved. He wants you to live like you're saved in order that people may see Jesus in you and in your life and in your testimony and in your words and in your deeds, that it may reflect Him in everything you say and do. Yes, Peter failed. I failed. You failed. We all failed. But thank God he forgave all who have come to him on a bent knee in a word of prayer. The day came when the Lord put his blessings back on the life of Peter. Boy, I tell you today, isn't God a gracious God? It's so good that the Bible says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But even those who are saved, and I'm not saying any of this was right. Peter was wrong in the way he did and the things he did. However it may be, God has given us that as a great example. But we find Peter went out and did what he did, but now he's preaching at Pentecost. I've never seen 3,000 people saved at one time. I'd love to preach somewhere, Brother Tommy, where 3,000 people get saved. He said, well, you really got to be special. You got to do exactly what God wants you to do. And you do to a certain extent. But I can tell you, if you wandered off, if you turned your back on him, if you walked away, if you followed at a distance. And when I say followed at a distance, I'm talking, when I followed, follow him like we should be. Follow him faithfully, regularly, attentively. Just follow him as far as he will take us in what we do. He told the church at Ephesus, he said, do the first works, according to Revelation 2:5. He was telling them, even though the church at Ephesus, he had rebuked them. They'd come to the level that they needed to repent. But the day came when God forgave them. And I submit to you this morning, the day is today that God wants to forgive you. Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Then would you this morning remember what he did for you? He literally gave his life. He wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And yet, out of the drops of blood flowed down his face in order that you and I might be saved. Close with this illustration. There was a group of prospectors from Bannock, Montana. Used to be the capital of the state of Montana. I didn't know that until I began to search this. And they went out searching for gold. They went out and there was many that went, but through it all there was many hardships. There were several of them that died along the way, and literally when they got through there was just a couple of fellows left. The Indians had come and killed the rest. But the Indians came, and for some reason those two men were still there. And they said, if you'll get out of here and we never see you again, we'll let you go. But if you ever come back, we're going to kill you. They took the best horses they had, left them the little puny horses that they had, and they began to make their way back to the town of Bannock. As they made their way back, the horses got weary and tired, and so they stopped by a little creek. And when they stopped by a little creek, one of them went over and took his pan and began to pan. And when he did, he hollered to his friend and he got him a chisel and he broke away the rock. And he said, I believe we found gold. They worked all that day and they had about $12 worth of gold. Now, I know that don't sound much to you, but that was a lot for them in the day. And there's gold, about $12 worth. So they excitedly made their way back to Bannock and they agreed that they would tell no man about this goal. They were going to be as quiet as they could, not tell a soul, and they didn't. However, after they'd gotten all their supplies together, gotten some fresh horses, got all the things you need to pan for gold, they made a time, they were ready to leave on a certain day, and when they did, there was 300 people showed up to go with them. They began to accuse each other. I told you not to tell. He said, I didn't. I told you not to tell. People said, nobody told us. We could just see from the beam on your face that you had found something. And friend, today I want you to know there ought to be a beam on our face when we found Jesus. And people ought to see it. And they ought to see Jesus enough. If you profess the name of Christ, we need to let people see Jesus in our life.